Hey, this is Phil. Today on the podcast, we have a conversation with Josh Furthmeyer about the pastoral internship he's going through at Crestview. We hope you enjoy the conversation.
Hi, and welcome to the Flipside Podcast, where we explore the underbelly of Crestview Bible. I'm Andrew, joined as always by Phil, and we have Luke here as well, our international partner, and a special guest, Josh. And I'll toss it over to Phil to get a little more on who Josh is.
Sure, we should probably introduce producer Paul too, right?
Yeah, Paulie is running the computer for us today. It's a new task for him, and it'll free me up because I just had a baby.
Yeah. Wow.
Well, not me personally. My wife had a baby, and I am
good clarification.
Yeah,
thanks.
Congratulations. I'm currently trying to pass off some responsibilities. You know, doing the whole Titus or Timothy and Paul thing, giving him responsibilities, and
you're certainly
on.
Doing something.
Yeah,
right.
Trying to. So he's here as well. We got a full room, five guys.
Five guys. That sounds good.
We don't have any fries.
No fries.
We have a pizza.
We have five guys and a little Caesar, so we're kind of happy. No, we wanted to do a quick podcast today and talk about the pastoral internship. So many of you know that this past year we started a pastoral internship with Josh, and we wanted to kind of give you the background of that. Obviously, we're not going to devote 30 minutes on a Sunday morning to tell you the backstory of why Josh is our intern and how we've gotten to that stage of the game. But today that's what we're going to tackle in our episode. So, what's some of the background, Luke, as to how we ended up here? Like, we've been doing leadership development work and giving intentionality to this and thought to this kind of thing for a while. How did it culminate to here?
Yeah, so back in 2017, we started what we called Crestview Pipeline, where we knew that we needed to put some kind of structure in place as leaders, age out of their responsibilities and their roles, to be faithful to say, okay, what's the next generation that's coming up? How can we get people in the pipeline? That's why we use that term, that's getting ready to go. So that way, when the time is ready, we can release that valve and they can start serving in that capacity. And so we started that, and we had, a group of 10, 15 guys, in that, and, you know, people that have produced out of that, you know, John Wilson and Justin Lalliker, Caleb Gattard, you know, those kind of, young men, that went through that. It was 2-3 years. And now they're serving, and they're very much ministering, serving in the life of the body. And then we've just kind of kept up with that. And it's not necessarily in terms of new training, but ongoing training, that's kind of sustained at the last couple of years. So leadership development is not something that is a new concept, to Crestview. But now we're just taking it up a notch, maybe.
Yeah, right. And really the, what we're trying to get at is the E of equipping. Mm-hmm. So when we've talked about the Jesus Project, knowing Jesus and making him known, we've talked about the four E's. We have an engage, which is ways that we're engaging our community. People that would never come to church, how are we engaging them? We're talking about evangelizing people. So telling them the good news, helping them enter into a relationship with Jesus. And then once they trust Jesus, they become established. And then from that, equipped, and the cycle kind of starts all over where we're back in the work and trying to figure that out. So this is kind of the E of equipped on steroids.
Yeah, right.
Where we're, and specifically in Josh's life. So Josh, I don't know if you want to talk about that, your aspirations for ministry and just what happened in your life last year that kind of made you press into Luke and me with what's going on in your life. So
for sure. So, thinking back about two and a half years ago, when you approached me to start helping with the youth, at that point I was going through a lot of hurt and recovering from the cancer, and everything. But coming off of a ministry that I had to leave due to health issues of serving youth in the community and in volatile situations, you approached me with the opportunity to start serving in ministry. And that kind of just culminated and turned into something where God had really put a passion and desire in my heart to continue to serve in ministry and even serve full time. So what happened was it's been about a year now, but I had been pursued quite a few times to either preach or to come and serve in local churches, either as a youth pastor or just to fill in the pulpit. But God really laid on our hearts that I pursue ministry full time. And so what does that look like? We're still trying to figure that out. I think that God's really pushing us in the direction of serving as full-time pastors somewhere on the field, to be sent on mission to shepherd people's hearts and make sure the gospel is proclaimed.
Yeah. And your background, right? So, you and Jess met at Bible college, right? Where you were studying to get,
actually we met at Hutch JUCO at a Bible study.
Okay.
From there we got married and then went to Bible college.
Yeah.
North.
So you have had some degree of formal instruction and training.
Right.
Doing the book work and the classwork. And so, I mean, I think you hear kind of Josh's desires there. And then our desire, Luke and I's desire, was as he's communicating this, we're wanting him to be able to serve well. And we're just kind of asking questions like, okay, so what does your experience look like in the local church? You know, what can we do to serve you so that you can serve with confidence? And all that kind of met together with, like, I think an internship is going to be the best idea where we can formalize some of this. So we roped the elders in with that. We put the money in the budget to kind of meet their needs a bit. And
We wanted to send out the best Josh that we could.
Right.
Right. Yeah, we wanted the next church or whatever, just to say, man, this is a guy we want, not just a guy we settle on, but he's the best Josh for not only for the church, but then also for the glory of God. Right. To honor him in that. But then for the whole church, all of Crestview, to say, yes, like, Josh needs to be sent out. Yes, we affirm that Josh is qualified. We have been impacted by his ministry. We have seen him. We have seen his life. We have seen his family. And I would love to be shepherded and pastored by Josh. So where he ever goes to next, that's going to be a privileged church to have Josh. Like, that's what we want. That's my heart in what we want for Josh and what we want for the future church ahead that he ministers to.
Right. And, you know, our desire too, you know, wanting to care for Jess. And so part of, I mean, we'll talk about like the specifics of what all this internships looks like in just a second, but, you know, we want to serve her, want the kids to have that same kind of confidence, you know, so as they're working through the calling and, you know, which situation do we need to step into? All these things are kind of converging, and the internship gives us the luxury of being able to dance around all these issues and dance into them and what's emerging, what's, you know, what's the growth that's needed, where are we good, you know, what needs shored up, what.
Yeah, and Phil, I want to point out real quick something that I think it's fascinating to see how God worked when you approach something biblically. So I had the opportunity to preach and pursue a pastoralship position over in Burton. But I wanted to submit to my elders and authority over me in the local church instead of just go do my own thing, which I've had multiple opportunities to do that. But when you submit to authority that God's given you, he does a special work in your life and in the life of others and in the body.
That's good. And now we have it on the record that Josh considers that a special work to hear Luke and me weigh in on his life. Well, so no, but that's flattering and great. And yeah, I think it is. There is a biblical pattern there. And obviously we feel the heaviness too. We don't want to just be like willy nilly in how we're guiding people and giving them wisdom. I mean, it's a heaviness that we feel as we're submitted to Christ, that we realize leadership doesn't mean that we're, not using our words well and not trying to step into wisdom too. So I think all that speaks of the I guess, the God-honoring part of this process, because it is a serious thing. We want the best for his church. We want him to be glorified. And in a day and age where so much of ministry is just tarnished by sloppiness and ridiculousness, we don't do the best of our ability. We want to do our best that we're all serving. And so it sharpens us, too, to have Josh around as an intern. So what are the nuts and bolts of this that we kind of go through week in and week out? So you want to start with...
Yeah, the rubric that we think through in terms of this training is head, heart, hands, feet. Okay, so how are we... And we go first to the head. So how are we giving him biblical conviction? How are we setting him up for success in terms of knowing the scriptures, being confident to interpret them well, to teach them well, and then all sorts of just knowledge and training of just pastoral ministry, right? And then they got the heart. So the biblical qualifications for an elder, none of them, my conviction is, none of them are competency based.
Right.
Not out of the 16 that are there, none of them are competency, but they're all character based. So, my biggest thing is, man, I want to shape Josh's heart after Christ.
And even for those who would say, well, they are able to teach in the pastorals, we have the aim of our instruction is love.
Right.
Right. So even in the teaching, there's a character component that has to be front loaded or else the teaching's wrong.
My conviction around that, not to get us too sidetracked, is that able to teach is one that, if you compare it to the rest of the characteristics in the pastorals, it's, are you able to correct your opponent with gentleness, with respect? So that's, again, it's a character based, not quality,
right. Yeah,
not, sure. Sorry, not competency based. It's right. Not like, hey, does he have all like the apologetic skills? And no, is he able to teach with respect, with, one where he loves the other person. Like you said, aim of the instruction is love. So anyway,
I just imagine a listener saying, what? You're able to teach? Are you kidding me? That's competent. That's head.
Right. Right. So, shaping his heart. So, just seeing where he's at in his character, shaping it more and more into the image of Christ, how he's leading his family well, all of those different aspects. And then the hands. So the hands is, just giving him ministry skills. So putting him in position, giving him different experiences. So he is very, very well, qualified, or I guess he just serves really well for youth. I want to see that multiplied across all demographics in the church. So giving him the experience, with people all over the church, men's, women's, families, teaching in different capacities, preaching sermons, that kind of thing, just giving him exposure. And then that way he doesn't get thrown into ministry and then have to learn on the fly. He has a safe zone right here,
right, yeah.
Where he can make mistakes. He can try out different things right here. And yeah, it's and not
all kinds of logistics, even like, you know, he's going to be leading communion, the communion part of our worship this week, or depending when the episode drops last week, you know, visiting sick. What does that look like? In my conversations with him about practically managing, you know, just conversations about he's like, how do you keep track of what the needs are in the body and how do you know those? Well, there's a sense in which that's a skill, but it's also just the practicality of the boots on the ground of ministry. How do we pass that on? So, I mean, there's all kinds of things like this.
So a lot of that then has to do with mentorship, right?
Yeah,
so him
right.
meeting with you,
yes.
meeting with me, meeting with other older men in the church that can walk alongside him, that can give him wisdom and skills and teaching. So it's that what you mentioned earlier, Andrew, of the Paul Timothy model, right? You talked about that with Paul, but this is the way that 1800 years of church history has been before the advent of seminaries and Bible colleges, that it was... we pass on this to the next generation as pastors in the context of local churches. And so that it's big mentorship based. And so giving him those kind of opportunities to sit down with us.
Right. And so if you're in a meeting with Luke and me, it's very likely that Josh is being drugged to that meeting with us. So that's already been the case for some people. Josh is like, I'm the intern here and I don't just get Phil coffee or whatever, you know, like, He's trying to be in there so he can understand, like, someday if he's out on his own trying to lead a meeting, what's this going to look like? Or we drag him into elders meetings and deacons meetings and all the things that go in behind the scenes. So all that's part of it. So we talk about head, heart, hands. Why is feet such a big deal to us? I mean, I think people that know us well know why this is important, but let's draw attention to that too.
Yeah, getting into the community. So pastors historically, they are ones that are in the community that they, I mean, when I'm talking about historically before last 100 years, but they would be involved and there would be the priests of the community in that sense, and everybody would look to them. And so they had their boots on the ground. They were involved in the needs of people broader than just the four walls, broader than just the membership of their own community, local church community. So getting him out and getting him to get understand what is the needs right here in Hutchinson, getting him plugged into different organizations, having different conversations with people in the community. What are the needs that are out there? What does the benevolence even look like here? How do I lead a church that can love our community well?
Yeah, right. I mean, we just had a conversation this morning with a pastor who had been in pastoral ministry in Hutch, and he said, I just never had time to love the community because I was so tied up with ministry stuff. Mm. And so we're wanting to front load our internship, and everything that we're passing on is, no, this is going to be a part of what we do. So I love that. I love that emphasis, and it's really at the core of what we're trying to do.
But this is all from my perspective.
Sure.
What my goals are for Josh. But I want to hear from Josh. Like, man, what do you see as this is what I really value in the internship. This is the part that I'm excited about. This is the part that I feel like, man, this is where areas that I need sharpening in. The goals that you won.
Now he is just for everybody that's listening, he is just a couple months into this now. So like what's landing so far. And so, yeah, so the people know what's going on.
Yeah. So, I want to give a little sense of practicality, what this looks like, heart, hands, and feet. So we're going through a study, curriculum, Porter Brook, with Luke also doing Simeon Trust, which is almost like college classes. Active with communion, preaching, teaching, involved in ministry. If you've been at Crestview, you know I'm involved with youth ministry and men's ministry and sitting in on H2Go, our missions that we're trying to get going. So there's a lot of things going on, and Luke and Phil and the elders have really, they want me plugged in.
Right.
And I think that's the excitement of it all for me, is I get to have a hand in everything. Maybe not to lead or take part, but at least to sit back and be exposed. I think when the kinks in the armor or things I need to shore up my experience or what I need to move forward for pastoral ministry, I think of just the practicality of things, of how to run a church, how to minister to a body, to a flock. It's a lot different than youth. You know, youth, they come and go. They move on. You have them for a season. You know, I can't go throwing a beach ball around in service every Sunday and get the congregation excited to serve and love Jesus that way. I mean, I could, but I don't know if it'd be approved at Crestview. But, you know, I don't think that's – it's just there's so much more depth in caring for people as a pastor, and I don't have the ability to do that yet. So that's what I'm excited to learn and explore and just take in this internship.
Somebody's getting a call.
I got a phone call. I don't know if that'll come up on the podcast.
Somebody's calling in with a live question. Sorry, we can't get to you right now, but we'd love to take that question, but we're not going to take it right now.
That was my wife. Sorry.
Oh, it's good. Good. Perfect. She could feel us.
She's like, where am I?
I think a really cool thing about the practical side is it helps you to not freak out when something happens. And you get that with youth ministry a degree, even short time knowing Phil and Luke, the problems arise in church and their immediate reaction is just settled. And they're like, oh, we've dealt with this before, or this is how we're going to handle this, because they have just a plethora of years.
And the thing with that too is not just responding from emotion or experience, but biblically, right? Like as a mature Christian, what to do in those situations.
Right. Right. So, I mean, it's a balance, right? Of all this that we're trying to nurture skills so that the impulse is from a heart that has been trained, you know, so where those lines are, it's all elusive, but that's what we're aiming for. So I guess we need to end with the outcome or the goals of this. What happens at the end of this internship? So I don't know if we need to go around and say what everybody thinks that looks like. Yeah.
Well, it's a great question. And I think one that is a natural question that people, so what is that? Is he going to join the pastoral staff? Is he going to, are we going to plant a church with him? Is he going to leave us and go pastor church somewhere else? And I would say, one of those, right? would love to send him out to plant a church somewhere else. I would love for him to take on a revitalization of a church. I would love for him maybe to even join here as we continue. I mean, I don't want for us to be a mega empire or with a bunch of staff members, but that's kind of my goal is to be like, I always want to be a ascending church, people that are sending people out and not being scared of that. I think that historically sometimes churches can be scared of, oh no, people are leaving. What's going to happen? That's great. That just means God's multiplying his church. Right. And so, if he gets to be sent out from among us, and that's what Christ honoring.
Yeah, I think my goal for the end of this would be at the end of this, he's crystal clear on what God wants from him, and we've equipped him to do that adequately.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so whatever that looks like, I mean, it might be that through this he ends up saying, I feel like God's calling me overseas,
or
you know, it might be that God's being calling me across the river to Medora or whatever, you know,
like that's South
across
Hutch.
The Arkansas River or across the Arkansas, the little Arkansas or across the big Arkansas to South Hutch or something, you know, who knows, but that he walks away from this process. Like I've been helped. I have a better, like your Sunday school class right now is handling the word with confidence. Mm-hmm. I think I want the internship that Josh is able to manage ministry with confidence.
Mm-hmm.
With all that he's been equipped with. So those are our aspirations. Josh, what do you think at the end of this?
So I think you hit the nail on the head. My aspirations is to be sent, whether it's a church plant. I love the idea of church revitalization and missions. I have a passion for serving the least of these. And so it's just to be able to... make that decision with my wife in a way that's God honoring and knowing that that's his will for us. But yeah, to be sent and be put on mission for God, which I already am here in the local body, but to do so elsewhere is exciting.
I hope you are. If not, then you're disqualified.
Stopping this right now. One question I have is just in the practical sense, how should the congregation engage with Josh? Just the way the American church has in the past hired pastors and they interview, candidate. And so we're surprised, if we're skeptical even, what is a way that we can engage well or just reach out to Josh and make the most of this, his services? Because he really is here, I guess, to serve.
I think, you know, like the golden rule applies in all of our interactions, but I think in this, do unto Josh as you would have him do unto you. So, you know, don't be overly weird. Just treat him normally like you would anybody else. And also, like, just realize none of us have arrived. Like, the same way that you would not expect absolute perfection. I hope you don't expect absolute perfection from anyone. Mm-hmm. Don't expect that from Josh, because none of us have that. That's why we're a Jesus-centered church. He's the only one who has that. You know, he's the one, all of our eyes are on him. And so we're just trying to emulate what he wants the church to be. So, you know, I think if you get overly worked up about something, just remember, okay, yeah, he's not the Christ. Neither are any of the elders. Neither is anybody in leadership. You know, we already have a Jesus. We don't need another one, you know? So, but then out of that, you know, yeah, let's help one another. Let's encourage one another. Let's, you know, exhort one another. Let's, you know, if he's in sin and you see that, confront him gently and restore him gently. So I mean, all these things are applied. I don't know what else. What would you like to invite people to, Josh?
Yeah, well, I think it's important that, you know, you said I've not arrived and I am an understudy. I'm not a pastor yet. So
can we thank Pastor Josh in our heads? Obviously, we don't. We're not formal. Right. We're not
well,
saying
I think that's
Phil,
a little
pastor
bit of the problem Luke. With some. But you're the youth pastor.
It.
No,
we can
I'm,
thank it really
I'm
hard.
A servant right. who loves Jesus. So, but yeah, I think people can come to me if they desire or have a need to. I would hope they could do that with anybody.
Yeah, for sure. Let's let Luke state it bluntly for us, because I get real uncomfortable talking about how people should talk about pastors.
Yeah, we're not calling anybody pastor, whatever.
Well, you know what I'm saying, like just this role, or
yeah, right.
You know, the way I have a hard time sometimes backing that out for people, like, hey, just relax, I'm just Phil.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We don't call you Banker Jim. Or Engineer Andrew, right?
Thank you. That'd be weird.
We don't define ourselves by our position. I mean, unless you want to call me Brother Luke. That'd be...
Brother. Okay. Yeah. I tried to work all of that out of my system when I was in a church in the South. I just was like, this is too creepy. These people aren't family. Whatever. That's another podcast.
Sounds like you got some residue there.
I do. That's dirty.
I think that's helpful just to know. To extend the arm of fellowship to him. And yes. I guess he is in a place of elevated position in some ways, right? And so just to respect that as we would for respect sure. any man who's
yeah.
seeking to serve in ministry. So
for sure. Yeah.
Well, is that the end of our time?
I think so, yeah.
Well, if you have any questions, you can definitely get in touch with any of the men at this table, Luke, Phil, or Josh, and they'd love to talk to you and engage this more. Thanks for joining us in the conversation. We hope to catch you next time on the flip side.